We find the same thing emphasized in many other places in the New Testament. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, "For by grace you have been saved," as Paul is talking to the members of the church there in Ephesus. He's not saying, "Well, you know, I wonder what saved you. I wonder how you got saved. I wonder what salvation came from, or where did you get it?" He says, "For by grace you were saved." There's no question as to the source of their salvation. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, from which I've borrowed the phrase that I used for the title of this lesson, Paul says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins or trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us." Do you hear that? The forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. There is no word or words that can adequately describe the significance of salvation, and it's the result of God's grace. Without the grace of God, you and I would be eternally lost and doomed to spend eternity in hell. To put it just as plainly as I know how, we are saved by grace, and no one can be saved except by grace. If you were to take grace out of the picture, you would remove salvation from the picture. But now there's a question that we need to address before we progress any further in this subject. It's a question that I've heard many times, and it's a good question because it's based on something that comes from Scripture. It's based on what Paul writes in Titus 2, verse 11, a passage that Doug read a few minutes ago. And the question is this: will all to whom God's grace is offered be saved? God's grace is offered to all. It has appeared unto all men. Does that mean everybody to whom it's been offered will be saved? Listen again to what the verse says. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." It has appeared to all. It has been made available to all. But if we are to take the position that everybody is going to be saved because grace has been offered to everybody, then we're going to have to close the Bible and push it aside and not even think about some of the other clear passages and statements that the Bible gives us. The Bible clearly states on many occasions and in many different passages that many people are going to be lost. So there must be more to salvation than just grace. Now you see, when we make statements like that one I made just a few minutes ago, we're saved by grace, and no one can be saved except by grace. A lot of people take that and then they quit listening. They say, "Well, that's all I need to know. Grace is all I need. Grace is everything." That's not what it said. It didn't say that grace is everything, but it said if you take grace out of the picture, remember I said, you've taken salvation out of the picture. But grace by itself does not save us. In fact, in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, we read again, "For by grace you are saved through faith." So there's another element that is brought into this equation that now becomes a necessity in exactly the same way that grace is a necessity. There is no separation of rank between those two conditions, those two things in that verse. They are both on equal plane. There is grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. By grace, through faith, equal. One is not above the other. Without grace, you're not saved. With grace, but without faith, you're not saved. There, generally speaking, is the burden that we face in trying to explain to many modern day religious people about what grace is all about and the part that grace plays in our salvation. It is grace that saves, but not without faith as the means through which grace is reached. Grace saves, but faith applies grace to man. It's like saying food satisfies hunger, but it takes eating to apply the food. It's like saying that water quenches the thirst, but you've got to drink the water in order for the water to quench the thirst. So grace saves, but it only saves the person who applies it through faith. And they both are essentials to salvation. Salvation is God's gift to man, but it is not an unconditional gift. The condition is faith. I dare say that every one of you this morning came from a house where you most likely lived, or somebody you know really well lives there, and you were just there. That if you were to go into the kitchen or into the bathroom or even to a faucet on the outside of the house there and open it up, water would come out. If there had never been a means to bring that water from the meter box that normally sits right behind the curb on the street to your house and connect that water into the piping of your house, you would not have running water in your house. Now, I know that there are some among us who remember living in houses where there was no running water. And isn't it wonderful that you don't live there anymore? But the fact is, the water is essential to survival, but the pipe is essential to getting the water into the house so that it'll come out when you open the faucet. If the water is grace, then faith is the pipe through which the grace is made useful. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Faith is the condition. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to take a close look, a further look at exactly how we are saved by grace through faith. But before we do that, I'd like for us to note five very important aspects about grace, and we're going to use the puzzle form of an acrostic. And we're going to let every one of those letters in the word grace help to explain one of the very, very important features about grace itself. And so, beginning at the top, we could say that grace is a gift. It is a gift. You say, now David, why do you say that? Well, very simple. The reason I say that is that Paul said it in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. He said, "For by grace you were saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the," listen, "the gift of God." Grace is a gift, isn't it? Yes, it is. The salvation is the free gift of God to mankind. And that fact is emphasized over and over again in Scripture. Sometime when you're at home and have access to a good complete concordance, just look up the word gift and notice how many times in the New Testament it's connected to the idea of salvation. For example, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 15, Paul says, "But thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." What gift is he talking about? He's talking about salvation, which we have through grace. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, those who have obtained salvation are described as those who have, you remember, those who have once tasted of the heavenly gift. Grace is a gift, any way you look at it. A lot of folks get hung up on this point, and I'm afraid they feel the need to drive it into the ground, and they never look any further beyond the idea that grace is a gift. And that is an important point, and none could deny the fact that grace is a gift that's stated so clearly in the text regarding grace and salvation being the gift of God. It's not something that anyone could ever obtain outside of God's loving provision. It's not something that mankind could invent. Even in his most words escape me. The smartest fellow who ever walked on the earth isn't smart enough to invent eternal salvation and to invent a way that it could be accomplished. It can only come from God. It only comes through Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God to mankind, and it cannot be accounted for in any other way. Giving man what he needs because there is nothing that he can do that would accomplish it if God didn't give it. That's grace. That's the gift. Salvation. Not only is grace a gift, but in order for a gift to do what it needs to do, it has to be received, doesn't it? We find a perfect commentary on that point in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19. In that particular passage, Solomon is reminding us of the appropriateness of enjoying the fruits of our labor. In other words, it's appropriate if God blesses you with resources or even wealth on this earth, it is appropriate to use it. Now, you don't have to. You could say, "I want it." You could do like that one talent man. You could go and hide it in the ground. Try to forget about it. Act like you don't have it. It wouldn't accomplish anything good, and certainly wouldn't accomplish anything within God's will. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, "Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, He," God, "has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." Did you know that was in the Bible? To everybody that God has blessed with wealth and riches, He has also empowered him to eat from them and receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. When God gives you something, he expects you to take it and use it. He's given you the ability to use it. And it doesn't do you any good if you don't take it and use it. And grace, in order to be grace, has to be received and put to use. A gift has not served its purpose until the gift has been received. A leftover Christmas present is just an object with no special significance unless the one for whom it was purchased receives it. It doesn't accomplish its purpose. It doesn't do any good for what it was for if the person that it's for never gets it. Now consider this. Grace is available to all. All. God doesn't play favorites with grace. Short people, tall people, fat people, skinny people, black, white, yellow, purple, Jew, Gentile, Russian, American. It doesn't matter. God's grace has been provided for all men. Titus 2 verse 11. Again, we're going to wear this verse out. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. There is no single person on this earth who is outside of God's offer of grace. It's for everyone. There's never been a single person in this world that God does not desire to be saved. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's grace is for all. God's grace is in Christ and Christ alone. John chapter 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation by grace through faith is the free gift of God. Free, but it isn't cheap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul says, but he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That was Jesus who went to the cross and died so that the offer of grace could be presented for all people. One final thing. Grace provides an eternal blessing. It's for all eternity. The verse we read just a minute ago, Romans 3 verse 23, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Obviously, there are many earthly blessings in God's grace, but they all pale in comparison to the eternal blessing of life. Eternal life. Now, a few minutes ago, I promised you that we'd look at exactly how those folks in Ephesus were saved, where Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. You know, if we could just go back to Ephesus and back the clock up, and look and see what they did and see what the process was that they went through so that after it was over and done with, Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Well, you know, I think we can do that. We can come mighty close. Let's first look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. This is the same letter in which Paul, just a little bit later, will say, for by grace you're saved through faith. In verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth," the gospel of your salvation. They heard the truth. They were told the message of truth. Ephesians 1 in verse 13. That same verse tells us that they believed the gospel. After you listened to the message of truth, having also believed. And so here's what they did. First of all, they heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They believed that it was true. Now, turn with me back to Acts chapter 20. Here in Acts chapter 20, we are turning back the clock from Ephesians chapter 1. Because in Acts chapter 20, we've got Paul standing there talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he's talking to them about what he had done there among the people in Ephesus. And in verse 21, he says, "I taught repentance to both Jew and Greek." So in the process of being saved by grace through faith, they were taught to repent. That's what we have to do as well, if that's what they had to do in order to be saved by grace through faith. But let's go a little further. Let's back up just a little bit to Acts chapter 19 and verse 18. We read what happened in Ephesus as a result of Paul's teaching. "And many that believed came and confessed." Thus we can see that the matter of being saved by grace through faith involves hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of sin, and confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master. And then you can go to verse 5 of Acts chapter 19. And you'll read about the first 12 converts there in Ephesus. And it says, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now it's to these people, these same folks, that Paul would later write the letter to the Ephesians. And he would say, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, how on earth could we ever tell anyone anything different from what Paul told these people if doing what Paul said resulted in them being saved, being Christians? Wouldn't we tell people the same thing today, and wouldn't we ourselves today want to do exactly the same thing? To hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, to repent of sin, to make the good confession, and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. The gift of God. That's only good if you receive it. Have you done that? If you've not done that, why not do it today? Why would you wait any longer? If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.